Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will join us to discuss conditions on the ground in the cash grain market. And we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. That with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. And we'll get an update from John Newton, ag economist from the U of I, about ending stocks this year, next year, and the potential for price to change. Remember, the target at the moment is $3.70 per cash, set from USDA's last World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate released last week. And we'll hear all about that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday, rather Monday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down 6.5 cents in the lead option May at $3.70.5, July at $3.78, 6.75 lower in December corn, $3.96 down 6.5 cents, the March at $4.07 down 5.75 for the day. From the soy complex, May beans at $9.48.75, 2.75 lower, July at $9.52.75, a settlement down 3.25, and the August, $9.52 down 3 cents, November beans $9.39.25, 3.25 lower. January of next year, $9.45.75 down 2.75. Bean meal down 40 cents. Bean oil a nickel lower. Hard red winter wheat at $5.29 in the May, down 29.75. July 29.5 lower at $5.33 in the May. Wheat for the soft red at $5.02.25 in Chicago, down 24.25. July soft red winter wheat at $5.25. Down 23 and three quarters for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the April at 158.82.5, up 2.5 cents. June contract at 148.95, 15 cents higher for the day. Feeder cattle in the May contract at 210 and a nickel, 32.5 lower. August at 211.80. 35 cents higher for the afternoon. And the lean hog settled the April contract at $63.10. That's up 55 cents. May at 72.42.5. Up 65, a correction on the April contract for the feeder cattle. It was down 20 at 212.25. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $51.94 a barrel, up 30 cents in the lead option. RBOB gasoline on the wholesale price, $1.80.3. That's 0.3 cents lower. Ethanol futures down 2.3 cents. It finished at $1.54.5, and natural gas at $2.50.9. That's down 0.3 cents. And the gold, diesel futures at $1.78.2. That's also known as New York Harbor Ultra Low Sulfur Diesel. April contract in the gold, May, down $5.30. A settlement price there at $1,199.10. And the U.S. dollar at 99.499 is up 0.161 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high of 69 degrees. Northwest winds at 15 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 24 tonight. Partly cloudy, a low of 44 degrees. North winds at 5 to 9. And Tuesday, sunny, a high of 68. East, northeast winds at 6 to 10, gusting to 15 miles an hour. And then Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 43. Wednesday, partly sunny and 66. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy and a low of 51 degrees. And on Thursday, a 30% chance of rainfall. Mostly cloudy, a high Thursday of 67. Thursday night, cloudy and 52. For the weekend, Friday, partly sunny, the start of anyway, 69 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy and 49. And Saturday, mostly sunny, 67 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 43. Sunday, sunny skies and 66.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now what's happened in the marketplace and, more importantly, why Kirk Kimmel is here on this Monday afternoon, as usual, from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kirk. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I suppose it was the rainfall that did in the wheat complex today. Tell me about what happened and your expectations as we move through the rest of the week.
Well, wheat, definitely the weak link, and you look at the radar and the rain totals that you know, going to be supportive of the wheat areas that's been struggling. But also, too, there's talk that Russia will end their export duty on wheat, that there will be more wheat rail available to the world market. And, you know, that was kind of fundamental news that kind of sparked the selling. But once wheat moved below last week's low and broke the uptrend line we'd had intact here for the last 5 weeks, it just generated technical selling outright. It generated selling wheat, buying beans, selling wheat, buying corn on the spreads. So wheat definitely is the one to watch here, see if we actually follow through. The key is this $5 level in the July. It's going to be important to try to make a stand here. If not, you know, we could be vulnerable, you know, to some additional erosion. But otherwise, you know, the market's looking at, you know, rain in the plains, a little drier forecast for planting progress in the upper Midwest. We'll see what this afternoon's planting progress report shows. The thing is, the trade kind of had a range of corn being planted as a nation anywhere from this 3 to 5% complete as a nation. And that's not too far off average. Last year, I think we were only about 3% planted. So, you know, the trades union, what's all the hype on delayed plantings? And that is the case in the Deep South. But here in the upper Midwest, you know, this week's going to tell the story here as we go through this week and see how much moisture we actually see.
Yeah, so rainfall is the driver. Weather is the driver at this point. Let's stay with wheat for just one more moment. Will there be follow-through, do you suppose, in the overnight trade to the downside? You said $5, the important level. That was in the July contract for the soft red winter wheat. It is the low for the day. Will they try to break it? And, gosh, they're only, what, a quarter cent above that or something at the end of the day?
We feel the July wheat's going to test this 495. It's either going to be tonight or tomorrow. At that point, you know, I think we can see some stabilization. You know, we'll see if that generates, you know, a little export business. But, you know, one other factor is, you know, strong dollar. And, you know, some of this other wheat might be a little cheaper somewhere else if you want to believe the strength or the weakness of a dollar, for say. But it's going to generate some margin calls down over 20 cents. The margin clerk's going to be calling first thing in the morning.
All right, so we'll have to watch that and see how things open and if anybody gets scared out by the margin calls, I suppose, kind of like the technical things that can drive things a little farther, a little faster than would otherwise be expected. You did mention that they were buying corn and soybeans on the spread. That gives a little strength to those marketplaces. They didn't act too bad, I suppose, in all respects, as you look at what's been happening across the Midwest and in the face of such a loss in wheat. In the wheat pit, although they were down for the day, too.
Yeah, beans held in are the best. Of course, they've been beat up the most here over the near term. There's some ideas we might have stimulated a little Asian business, but I doubt that. The focus continues to be on the southern hemisphere. You know, shipments, we're shipping out what we sold, but, you know, any new sales is going to have to be, you know, a real bargain for them. You know, as far as that corn goes, it's kind of caught in the middle there on the price action. There's belief that we're going to probably see you know, some planting progress take place. There's ideas that demand's slowing in corn. We're not physically up to snuff to where we want to be for the bull to really take charge in through here. And ideas this corn carryout could climb back up over to close to 2 billion bushel mark. And also, too, we saw, you know, another more talk of bird flu in a commercial chicken flock in Wisconsin there. And, you know, that could be a concern long-term if this bird flu starts to spread and we're unable to really get a handle on it here as we move forward.
Oh, wait a second. I didn't catch that before. That would be a change because these have been in turkeys up until this point, right? Have there been other poultry flocks, chickens that have had problems? I don't recall what happened in Missouri exactly.
You're correct. It's been a lot of turkeys, but this is the first one I've seen, and it was on, I caught that on Twitter. I didn't actually see whether it was Dow or
not. Confirmation, but Twitter is...
correct.
Okay, right.
And it was a photo snap of, I believe, CNBC or something, and it was basically headline was bird flu, commercial flock and chicken in Wisconsin is what I saw.
So that'll be important to watch over time as well, because poultry, of course, one of the larger users of corn for livestock feed.
Correct. And this has always been a problem somewhere else. It's always been a problem in Asia, you know, particularly, you know, China. And that here on our home ground, you know, is a serious matter. And, you know, we did see the virus concern in hogs a year ago last winter, and we pretty well dodged that here this last winter. So there's things out there we need to keep an eye on from a demand perspective that, you know, confirmation of this and spread of this could really ding feed, true feed demand, that is.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. And to you and Pete and all the crew up at Bates Commodities, thanks so much for the financial help this week as we start our spring fund drive, too.
Well, Todd, we really enjoy being a part and be able to help. You guys do a wonderful job, and you do a great service to provide information for hedgers and traders out there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel, of course, with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He does join us on this Monday edition, as usual, of the Closing Market Report. Les Schulte, on the other hand, normally would not be here. The only reason he's ever in studio with us is because it's fund drive time, and we're looking to raise a little money for the radio station that brings you all this really good ag programming. And the folks up at Bates Commodities are just one of the really good business partners we have.
They are. And the thing that Kurt was referring to was that we have this group, again, of businesses, ag businesses, who are supporters throughout the year. But they make this special challenge at this time. Bates Commodities and AgriGold Seeds, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County branch, just a few of them. And they have $2,250 kind of on the line that they will, additional, that they will add to our pledge total when we hear from at least 100 other people who make pledges and mention agriculture as one of the services they truly appreciate and use on this station. So when you call in and make that pledge, don't forget, say, mention agriculture, and they'll jot that down, and we can count you towards this challenge. And then we can add that $2,250. That's a big chunk. It pays for a lot of services around here in the on the ag side of things. So you can do your part by calling 217-244-9455 right now or going to willpledge.org. Think about maybe making a $120 a year contribution to WILL. That's just $10 a month if you want to set it up on a sustaining membership plan. Nothing, almost nothing, when you think about the investment that you make in your operation and the information that you get to help run that operation from this radio station. Why don't you make a $10 a month investment back to make sure that information is going to continue to be here? It's a simple thing to do. You call this number right now, 217-244-9455, or again, just go online to willpledge.org. And to make that pledge, we'll count you towards this challenge. When we hit 100, we can add that $2,250 to our pledge total, thanks to the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, also to Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Hutchinson. That would be Mike Zuzalo and friends. And they are encouraging you to make that call right now to get us off to a great start. We're almost at just a little over $21,000 now, Todd.
That's a fantastic thing. We're on our way. We've got quite a ways to go. We're headed towards $120,000. For this drive. If we get there early, We'll stop. If we don't, you'll hear us through Friday. And Friday we'll be a little panicked, but not too bad. And we really do appreciate all the support that the Ag folks do offer to us. You can go to willpledge.org if you've got us bookmarked at willag.org. And if you listen to us online, you're not off the hook. Please do take a look at that. And I put a big red button on willag.org. It says donate. And it doesn't matter where you press in that. You're going to find a way to get online to the donation process. You can do that, or you can just go to the number 217-244-9455. It doesn't take very long, frankly. You can tell them, I'm going to send you a check. I'm going to write a check to you later if you want to, but you can do it on your American Express or Discover, Visa, MasterCard, all of those things. It's really simple, really easy to do, but the important thing to do, Les, is to make the call
go
online.
That's right, and do that right now. Don't put it off till tomorrow because you might be really busy tomorrow, and let's hope you are really busy tomorrow. So yeah. Let's do it right now at 217-244-9455.
Hey, thanks, Les. We'll check in with you in just a bit. Hey, I've got one other little fun thing, too, for you. Before we move on with the rest of the show, if it's not enough that you're supporting us, there's one extra item.
You could be the talk of the elevator with your own personal cell phone answering message from Dave Dickey.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Leave your message after the beep for George.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to 5 winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The last time the U.S. ended a marketing year with more than 2 billion bushels of corn was the fall of 2005. Now, some are beginning to consider the possibility that much corn might be on hand this year, too. We'll explore how this could take place and the reality of the situation. We'll start with the nationwide average cash price of corn back in 2004. That was $2.06 a bushel. This would have been sold by farmers prior to the 2005 corn harvest. University of Illinois ag economists state the price comes from the tail end of the old era and does not reflect the economics of corn production today. The old era pricing started back in the 1970s. The new era started with the 2005 crop and the introduction of the renewable fuel standard. It created a market for corn-based ethanol that this year reached its maximum. On the bright side, with respect to both old and new crop grain prices, the consumption levels needed to reach a 2 billion bushel carryout result in a stocks-to-use ratio for corn of only, writes John Newton from the University of Illinois, 14.8%. He says, based on recent price stocks-to-use analysis, the implied price associated with a 2 billion bushel carryout may be consistent with the current marketing year USDA cash price projection of $3.70 a bushel. Of course, USDA has yet to release a current ending stocks projection of 2 billion bushels of corn.
I like to think of the USDA and the WASD reports as a slow-moving ship. And so even though we may ultimately get to a number higher than 1.85 billion bushels of corn carrying out in the marketing year, the USDA is not going to go there today. It'll take some time. They'll progressively make adjustments because it's a lot easier to make slower adjustments than walk this thing back later in the marketing year.
Here's the upshot of that statement. USDA's marketing year average cash price for corn looks right, but the carryout figure may grow to match it. The cause for concern, then, is the price implications associated with a potentially big crop in 2015. The corn crop to be harvested this fall, says Newton.
If you were to carry out the balance sheet into next year, what are some of the potential implications? And while 165 bushels an acre and 89 million planted acres could get us to lower our carryout at the end of 15-16, the other side of that coin is what if we have another whopper year? What kind of carryout could we then reasonably expect to have at the end of next year? And could that then again be above 2 billion bushels of corn? And what kind of corn prices would we see if that were to occur?
Now let's back up. Before this were to happen, you'd have to believe this year's ending stocks figure will be closer to 2 billion bushels than the 1.85 currently projected. Frankly, usage is better than that. Collectively, the pace of corn consumption for ethanol exports and feed and residual use is supportive of current WASDE projections, writes Newton in his April 13 Farm Doc Daily posting to the web. A 2 billion bushel carryout, he says, seems like a distant and unlikely outcome given current consumption indicators. USDA's June 30 stocks report should provide additional clarity on the ongoing pace of corn consumption. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Get Dave Dickey's patented broadcast opening on your cell phone.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Jack is not here right now, but leave your name and number after the beep and he'll get back to you.
Pledge for agricultural programming and get in on the random drawing for a custom message from Dave on your cell phone. Go to our secure website now with your pledge of agricultural support, www.willpledge.org, and mention agriculture.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Let's check in and see what is happening at the Andersons today. I think they've been pretty busy. Who do I get to talk to today?
Todd, you've got Greg today.
Oh, hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad.
Have you been busy, I take it?
No, hasn't been too busy.
Well, you didn't answer the phone right away. I just thought you were busy.
You caught me in a meeting. We have meetings when we're not busy.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you made it. So tell me about bases in your area.
Continues to be strong. Farmers are very tight holders of both corn and beans, and so we continue to see basis improve. Oh, just about a penny every week, it seems like. Over the course of a month, we see basis levels improve 3 or 4 cents. So until we get corn planted now, I would guess, and then maybe farmers would feel a little bit better about letting loose of some of this old crop corn. It just feels like farmers are going to wait and see how the planting season progresses and maybe then let loose of that last bit of corn.
You know, there's beginning to be a little argument about whether the carryout at 1.85 or 2 billion, which is, it's 1.85 now, but it has been as big as 2 billion, that this thing might grow. Do you think that'll be the case?
I suppose it could if that feed number, if the feed number gets reduced, you know, then, you know, the amount of corn that we'll use over the last 6 months of the marketing year could increase. So I suppose it could get closer to 2 billion. I hope it doesn't get any higher than that. That'll really throw a wet blanket on any price rally potential. But so far, I guess I wouldn't rule that out.
All right. Hey, and what are your bids for the day?
All right. Cash corn is 364. New crop 373, old beans are 942, new beans 917, and new wheat is 492.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. That is Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet? We'd like you to join us here on the Closing Market Report with a phone call or a pledge online, in fact, at 217-244-9455 or at willag.org. I put a great big red button there that says donate. It's really hard to miss. In fact, if you miss it, well, then there's something else wrong because it's a big button. But it's kind of important that you do that. We'd like you to do that right now, Les Schulte.
That's right. We ask everybody who's listening right now to join us on the phone at 217-244-9455 and make that pledge of support. Maybe you made a contribution to WILL last year about this time in the spring to help support agriculture. Why don't you renew that pledge right now? And again, you just call that number, 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org. We'll mention agriculture. We'll count you in towards the challenge for $2,250 extra dollars that we can add to our coffers when we get to that mark, that 100 mark.
Ooh, I like extra dollars. Those are always good. And you know what? $2,250 is a lot of money for us, so we really do appreciate it. Make your call right now or go online either way, willag.org or 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Peach Cobbler Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, Thomas Jefferson was born, the third president of the United States. He was an avid farmer who, at his Monticello estate, practiced scientific farming. was always on the lookout for a significant new plant or seed. In 1916, Funk Brothers Seed Company of Bloomington, Illinois, sold the first U.S. shipment of hybrid seed corn to Samuel Ramsey of Ohio. The cost, $15 a bushel. Ah, the good old days. In 1916, Edna Lewis was born, Southern chef and author of The Taste of Southern Cooking. In 1925, Elwood Haynes died, an American inventor. He built one of the first successful gasoline-powered automobiles, and he was a pioneer in the use of natural gas. When it was discovered in his hometown of Portland, Indiana, he organized a company to supply it to the town and a process to dehydrate the gas prior to it being pumped through the gas lines. In 1976, the $2 bill was reintroduced by the U.S. Treasury. And in 2008, the National Meats Institute in Uruguay organized a record-largest barbecue, grilling about 26,000 pounds of beef on a mile-long barbecue grill using 6 tons of coal. And that's this day of agricultural history.
Listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is on the phone line from Earth Risk Technologies. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Hey, glad to be here, Todd.
Tell me about the western United States, in particular the hard red winter wheat growing regions. They have been dry. We had a marketplace that said, hey, look at that, there are showers there today, and they dropped them like a rock. Did they really get the rainfall?
Well, they're in the process of receiving rainfall. Over the past few days, we saw the most significant rainfall in areas of south-central Kansas extending into central and western Oklahoma, and that did include some of the driest areas that we have seen over the past few months. So some of the core winter wheat acreage there in Kansas and Oklahoma did begin to see rain activity kind of splitting up the states here overall. More of the core acreage in Oklahoma did better than the core acreage in Kansas. Now, this does not look to be just a one-shot deal. There is going to be another system coming through later on this week, and that looks to be another slow-moving system. So it's a duration of a good opportunity for rain as this wave of low pressure slowly ejects out from the southwest into the southern plains. So from later on Thursday on through Saturday, we see this window for another significant rain event. And so for the areas of western Kansas and even some of the limited areas in Oklahoma that have missed out up to this point, they will have another chance here coming up later on this week, and it looks really, really good.
So the slow rollers are usually the good ones, especially if you've been in a bad way. Will it change things dramatically, do you suppose?
Time will tell here, Todd. At least from this week, it overall looks like, with what we've seen so far and looking ahead over the next couple of weeks, is that this week looks to be the wettest week. There are some indications that next week there will be additional opportunities, but at the time they do not look as significant of producers as this week's opportunities. So the question becomes, what's the duration here of this window of opportunity, which overall looks to be primarily, at least for the best rainfall, just really coming down to 7-8 days.
Okay, and then right here in our part of the world, farmers would like to know if they could plant corn later in the week.
Certainly looks to be the case here, Todd, as your more active pattern was across the southern plains, and that extends across the Delta region. The exception here in the Midwest is down across the Ohio River Valley acreage, which has been the wet spot here starting off the spring. And so with the pattern here coming up, it looks like your more frequent, heavier rain activity is south of the main corn belt. So for those areas here, I got some rains here today, but overall, as we go through the next several days, generally dry conditions, with the exception maybe of a few isolated rain showers, and then there'll be another system coming in the early part of next week. But again, that looks like a faster-moving system here for the Midwest, and it'll tend to get bogged down more so across the Delta-growing region. So overall, we don't see any kind of real big hiccups here with the onset of corn planting across the Midwest.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with EarthRisk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We hope you have joined us as well with your financial support. If not, do it right now at 217-244-9455 or online. Just hit donate at willag.org.